Section 6, Bhikshu Ordination. In many parts of the Buddhist world, Bhikshu ordination follows directly after Shramanera ordination, provided the candidate is 20 or more years of age. In my own case, a year and a half elapsed before I could take higher ordination, as it was also called. The principal reason for the delay being that in a non-Buddhist country like India, it was no easy matter to bring together the minimum of 10 bhikshus needed for the correct performance of the ceremony. Usually they could be brought together only on the occasion of major festivals, when bhikshus from many parts of the Buddhist world would be among the thousands of pilgrims flocking to the sacred places of northeast India. Thus it was that I received my bhikshu ordination at Sarnath on 24th November 1950, a full moon day, on the occasion of the 19th anniversary of the opening of the Mulagandakuti Vihara, having come down from Kalimpong for the purpose. The ceremony took place in the Burmese temple in the presence of 4 or 5 dozen people and lasted about an hour. Chandramani being unavoidably absent, his place as preceptor, Upadhyaya, was taken by a well-known preacher from Rangoon, so that my bhikshu ordination, like my taking pansil and my Shramanera ordination, took place under the auspices of the Burmese branch of the Theravada monastic order. Since I have given a fairly detailed account of the ceremony in the as yet unfinished continuation of the thousand-petal lotus, in this paper I shall mention only these aspects of it which are relevant within the present context, that is, the tracing of the history of my going for refuge. What struck me most forcibly, both at the time and afterwards, was the fact that nowhere in the ceremony was there any provision for going for refuge, in the sense of repeating the refuge-going formula after the preceptor. True, I had to repeat it after my teacher, Acharya, as part of the reordination as a Shramanera, which, in accordance with tradition, preceded my ordination as a bhikshu. But in the bhikshu ordination ceremony itself, going for refuge did not feature in any way, nor was it so much as mentioned afterwards. This was all the more remarkable in that, as I discovered only much later, bhikshu ordination had, in the early days of Buddhism, consisted simply in the threefold repetition of the refuge-going formula. Mention was, however, made of the 4 reliances, nisaya, of the monk, which my preceptor in fact explained to me after the ceremony proper. Ideally, a monk should rely on alms for food, on dust heap rags for robes, on the roots of trees for lodging, and on cow's urine for medicine. But should he find this too difficult, he might accept invitations to meals, wear robes made of various materials, live in a house or cave, and take ghee, butter, oil, honey, and sugar when sick. Thus, full allowance was made for human weakness. Though I could not help wondering whether a monk would not be more likely to adhere to the 4 reliances if he was not given the impression, so soon after his ordination, that he was not really expected to take them seriously. During the ordination itself, however, I was troubled by no such doubts or reservations. Indeed, I was troubled by very few thoughts of any kind. The reason for this being that proceedings were for the most part conducted in Burmese Pali, so that for much of the time I was free simply to immerse myself in the positive atmosphere generated by the occasion. With me in the consecrated area and completely surrounding me were monks of 4 different nationalities, including the same Mahabodhi Society bhikshus who had turned down my request for ordination 18 months earlier. Surrounding the monks, but outside the consecrated area, were laymen and laywomen of at least 6 different nationalities, while immediately behind the monks and in front of the laity was a Tibetan incarnate lama, who, since he was an upholder of the Bodhisattva ideal, could be regarded as transcending the dichotomy between monk and layman. It was therefore not surprising that despite the lack of provision for going for refuge, indeed, despite my own lack of clarity on this all-important subject, I should have been conscious of the third dual, at least in a way that I had not been conscious of it before. Whether this consciousness amounted to going for refuge to the spiritual community in the strict sense is doubtful, but at least it gave me my first intimation of what going for refuge was really like.